morning. Today is Wednesday, May the 31st. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor Estelle Fennell. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Are you ready for June?
No. Is that going to keep it away?
No, I'm fine.
Yeah, okay, fine.
June is one of my favorite months. What
really?
Can I say? Yeah, I don't
Why?
Know. It was always when we went to the ocean when I was a kid, and it was like the real official beginning of summer. And,
oh, okay, kind of like Memorial Day.
Yeah,
sort
exactly.
of.
Yeah.
All right. Our quote this morning comes from Oscar Wilde. Selfishness is not living as one wishes to live. It's asking others to live as one wishes to live.
That's kind of
Ain't that the truth, huh?
Yeah.
All right, maybe I am ready for June now. Since last we gathered, there was the homeless count.
Oh, yeah.
That mm-hmm. was done. And it was intriguing how the news stories were referencing Humboldt County has less homeless. Okay, significantly less homeless. Okay. So last week, Ryan came in, he said, they're not McKinleyville, as they had been.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately I'm thinking, well, okay, maybe the some of the stuff that Eureka has done,
mm-hmm.
pushing out the backfill instead of being from out of county mm-hmm. is Northern County coming down. Because
mm-hmm.
it still seems like we've got it just as much eye candy as we used to have. Okay. But there was no specific reference to your district in the Garberville area that has been an issue. I can remember Roger mm-hmm. complaining about it and Harry talking about it, mm-hmm. some of the predecessors in your chair. Has it been cleaned up? Is it less in Garberville, or is there something else going on here?
Well, Brian, I wish that were the case. I don't know. It probably is less right now than it is, as the year goes on. And we have the usual annual influx, especially starting in the summer and into the fall. But there are definitely homeless out there. Again, not as many as you would see at other times of the year. But what happened this time is that people who are homeless advocates in the area who've helped in the point in time count before decided that they were basically going to rebel and they were not going to be involved in doing the count. And I don't quite understand the reasoning there, but they did not go out, so it was really up to the Department of Health and Human Services volunteers themselves to go out, and they weren't able to make too many contacts, and as I understand it, quite a number of the people that they did run into refused to be counted. So,
how
I don't
you refuse
know.
To be counted? Don't you look at them and go, one?
No, there's a process apparently that you have to do. You know, they have to say where they were from and where they slept last night, those kind of things. So, bottom line, it didn't work out as it has in the past. I would say there's probably a drop, but it's hard to say if that's just a seasonal thing.
So the advocates were advocating
not to assist yeah.
those that they're supposed to be advocating for.
Yeah, I don't get it.
That's interesting logic.
I do not get it. But
now, do you think there's going to be the influx this year with the legalization?
Oh,
pending?
The Trimmigrant
thing?
I'll be very curious to see if that changes a little bit. I can't tell, but I anticipate people will show up regardless, just because.
Tis the season. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, before the break, we talked a little bit about the annual migration. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not geese. It's not the whales. It's the marijuana pickers and trimmers. And do you sense with the pending legalization of recreational throughout the state that there's going to be as much coming to Humboldt County? Or perhaps it's going to be diffused throughout the state in other areas where it's going to be grown out in public, unless, of course, the Attorney General Sessions steps in between now and January 1st.
You know, Brian, you bring up a really interesting question. It is happening in other counties, too, which was something that we perhaps were not aware of. We thought it only happened here. It is happening in other counties, and it probably will be more diffuse. I certainly would hope so. On the other hand, you are going to see people who are actually in the workforce legally, you know, permitted to be. So that's going to be a different thing.
Taxes are being taken out, and it's not cash-based, so maybe some of those folks that were wanting to run underneath the radar screen, now they got to have a bank account in order to cash the checks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So I think there is going to be a change. As with everything in this whole scenario, it's going to take a while, so I don't want to make a prediction that we're not going to have a whole bunch of people hanging out, because
you got to have a guess.
You got to get the message out there that there are going to be fewer and fewer instances of people actually coming into town and picking someone up off the side of the street to go out to wherever they're working. I think that will happen over time. Is this year going to change much? Maybe a little bit. That would be my guess. The other thing is that there's a mix there of people who are genuinely, you know, for whatever reason, whatever you think of it, they are coming from other places, even some from across the ocean.
Briny blue, I believe,
phrase,
right?
Yeah. To come and do this summer job and go home with some cash in their pocket, etc. But there are a bunch of people that are the ones that hang around in town and really literally are not going to be going up and working in these fields. They just think they're going to get handouts.
The parasites.
Well, you know, the bottom line is they think that some people just have this mistaken idea that they can just sit down on the side of the street and somehow or other be picked up by people without, you know, those people fearing for their safety and vice versa. So there's a whole subgroup of people who literally are not involved in the quote-unquote industry. They're just hangers-on who think they might somehow get something out of hanging around. And unfortunately, in that group, you've also got people who are, you know, probably got warrants out on them and that kind of thing. You get a lot of thievery that happens in the local shops to the point where now they're all working together to, you know, have photographs and cameras and spread the word around really quickly. So you got a little bit of that happens. I'm hoping we can stave that off over time and get things back on an even keel.
Well, you know, if the business community is in communication with one another, that's a nice
great positive. Oh, it's wonderful. I mean, they really do. They'll share the images and they'll have them in each shop so that people know.
Hopefully on both sides of the door so you can see as everybody comes through.
Right.
Match them up real quick, yeah.
Well, I mean, I got a story from one of the local stores. They told me this lady had been 86 from their store and then had gone and done some stealing in another store and then came back to them a week later. And they said, didn't you understand that we 86'd you? And she said, well, I mean, it's been a week. I thought I could get back in.
Yeah, come back in and steal from you again.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, so some people just don't get it.
Well, you know what? Maybe she just forgot.
She might have forgotten. Well, the bottom line is that, to me, that's the answer, is the community working together, you know, and just making a statement.
Is Garberville and Redway changing in that regard? Is there a stiffening of the spine?
Mm-hmm. I believe there is, yeah. And that can be a little controversial sometimes, you know. There are people who, you know, critical of people who are standing up for their rights.
Shop owners that don't want to
be
stolen from?
Exactly. Or have people hanging out on their doorstep when they come in.
That's controversial?
Yeah, well.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it is. It's.
It's not an election year. We don't have to drive
right,
stakes
right,
on
right.
these
no,
things,
no,
right?
No, 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 no. But you know, there is. I do think that the community is kind of standing up for itself. There was a community values meeting a few weeks ago. People talking about what do we stand for. So there's a move in that direction to just say, you know, we don't want to be nasty, but we don't want to be walked all over either. You know.
Well, paying attention to what needs to be paid attention to isn't necessarily nasty.
Yeah.
It's just,
and really, you know, I mean, being easygoing on people who are living a very, very unhealthy lifestyle is doing nobody any favors, including those people, you know. And I don't know what to do. I mean, we all know all across the whole nation there's so many people now who are either have mental issues or are addicted to drugs. It's a big question for everybody, and we're.
But I would suspect most of the people that are hanging out looking for handouts and jobs in the marijuana industry, that ain't them.
No, no.
This is
you just have
different.
Your.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about the whole idea of Eureka cleaning up and maybe people moving down. These are like the, egregiously homeless or whatever people who choose that lifestyle. There is that concern in the other communities. Are we going to see more? I don't think
the vagabonds.
So I'm not sure about that yet.
It's interesting as an area. Is the county getting traction? I know there's a ton of boatloads of money being spent. Is there any return on that investment at this point?
I think there is, actually. I think that it's we have to stay focused and we have to stay true to what we decided was the model. And if we do that on a consistent basis, and that's not just from day one to two, it's on and on and on.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Estelle, Richardson's Grove is kind of an intriguing situation, I guess, is kind of halfway the polite way of saying it. Bottleneck, huge cost factor for citizens of Humboldt County. I mean, we could expand and expound on that. I know of one fella who has a store in your district.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's probably as specific as I need to get. And it's costing his store, his bottom line, $40,000 a year to break down the standard size rig into smaller ones. And this being the only area in the country that has to do that really seems curious that it's been allowed to occur. Now, Caltrans did the study, and I understand that there would be less impacts on the trees to straighten it out than what the proponents of the lawsuit, some folks in the environmental community, had suggested.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's made its way through court. Granted, this is northern Mendocino and not southern Humboldt, but it's close enough,
it's the
same darn thing.
Yeah.
What are you hearing about straightening out Richardson's Grove and getting that actually addressed and cleared up?
It's something I need to get back in and talk with the district director again. Our new district director, Matt Brady. But I think that the bottom line is that they were so focused on the Willits bypass that they kind of put this on the back burner. Also, of course, they had so many legal steps to go
through. Challenges.
and it, which is interesting also because, you know, it affects the bottom line to delay it out and out and out. What could have been a fairly inexpensive fix is going to be more and more expensive as time goes by. I do understand people being concerned about the trees, etc., but honestly, Caltrans has gone out of its way, I would say, to address those concerns to the point of being really careful if they're in the area of roots and all of that.
We're driving over the roots right now. I mean, that's...
But the thing that's really interesting to me, and we've had this discussion for a very long time. I've talked with people who grew up in the area, and the fact of the matter is that the trees, the few trees that will be cut, have grown up since the road came in. They're not actually old-growth trees. So...
There's no old growth.
But see, there's a whole perception out there, put out there by people who do not support the realignment, that there's a whole perception put out there that, you know, it's going to destroy Richardson's Grove. Well, those trees are going to be
somebody's
there
not
a
taking,
long, long time.
Turning the page and looking at the next one to see where the map is and where those... Yeah.
Yeah. So really, they're very... If you look at engineering in today's world, what they're going to be doing will probably not even be noticeable to most people, but what it will do is it will make it a lot easier for those trucks to get through. And if you go through there on any given day, you're going to see nicks on the side of those trees, etc. That's because these RVs, especially not the... I think the truck drivers are super, super careful.
The pros know what they're doing.
There's a lot of non-pros driving through there in the summer in big RVs smashing into those trees. I would say they're doing more damage
You can see a lot of rear view mirrors or side mirrors
on the side
of the road.
Yeah.
You clipped.
Can see things that the trees have grown around, you know, all the way up halfway up in your eye level. So I think that I hope that at this point people understand that it can be done, that the realignment will actually be beneficial for everybody, and that it will not destroy the Grove at all. You know, and that's the bottom line. But it's a hard.
You've got the strong environmental community, mm-hmm. or activist community, pardon me, in Willits. You got a strong environmental activist community mm-hmm. in Garberville. I mean, so you've some of them you know, some of them you may know of. What are they saying? Now that it's gone through and the courts have found what the courts have determined, are they on board now, or do they feel like it's over, or are they looking for another chapter and kick it out another 5 years?
Well, I don't quite know what's happening right now. I understand there's a move afoot to look at some kind of other approach. I do know quite a few people who support me in many other instances, but really would like it if I would stand up and say no to the Richardson Grove project, but I can't do that. I mean, I've studied it. I understand that, and I appreciate people who are concerned, and I think that they've had a huge effect. I mean, they've really redesigned how they're going to go about it, but, you know, I think people should recognize that they've had that effect and move on. We'll see how it goes. But right now, I love Richardson Grove. I've camped out there.
I remember the old grocery store that used to be there that is no longer able to be used.
Well, if you go on Google Earth and look at Highway 101, and when it comes up to Richardson Grove, it disappears, okay? It's just a strip through a large... thousands of acres of trees. They're still going to be there. I think people don't get that. They think that this whole grove is going away or something like that. It's just a strip right through, and you honestly, it'll look exactly the same, in my view, after this work is done, because the trees will still be there.
And maybe not as many nicks.
Maybe not as many nicks, and a lot more safe for the trucks going through, and a lot better for things like local business, the blood supply. That's the one that got to me when I was in hospital and had to have
the blood mobile?
Copious amounts of blood. I learned from the whoever, I can't remember now what the society is that does it anyhow, but the blood people that...
The blood bank?
The blood bank, there you go. I learned that they are affected by that process in Richardson Grove because the blood, the plasma that comes up has to be in a refrigerated truck, and they have to have to pay extra just to get the blood up here. I mean, to me,
different ways that this community is paying for this.
Yeah.
And no one's recognizing that economic impact.
Yeah, and I honestly believe that, you know, again, there's been a lot of discussion. We've come up with solutions. It will be very closely monitored. I think it will do fine. And, you know, I'd be the first one to step out there and say, hey, what are you doing if they screw it up? But I kind of doubt that they will. I really think that they've looked at every angle on how to do this well, and it should really move forward, you know?
KINS News and Information Times 844. We'll be back with more from Estelle Fennell.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48, final couple minutes with Estelle. The ADA stuff that's going on.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's a big deal for you guys because of the federal engagement at this
consent
point.
Consent decree.
Yes. For most of us, are we going to tell that there's much of a difference?
Well, if you're disabled, you will, you know. So there, all of the county buildings will have to be compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act.
How many are not accessible now? Huge? Little? Tweener?
You know, we're slated to have a meeting this coming week about the count that we've done. A lot of them have actually been addressed in the interim one way or another, but it's still going to cost a fair amount. We have 1.69 million put aside, and we have four architects for design that are now qualified, pre-qualified to work on it. We're doing an inventory. There are quite a few buildings that are not accessible to the extent that they're not legally accessible.
Are they functionally accessible?
Those folks? Toilets, ramps for wheelchairs.
Wrong height, off degrees? I mean, is it the stuff that made the lawsuit so...
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so these are more significant issues.
These are more significant. Okay. These are issues that really, you know, they're older buildings. You know, the county has a lot of old buildings, and those buildings were built long before these requirements were made law, a matter of law. So we have a lot of work ahead of us, and little time to do it.
Does the county own too many buildings? Is it time to liquidate?
That's one of the things we have in our strategic framework, is we need to do that inventory and maybe think more along the lines of campuses, you know, get rid of some of the ones and consolidate our services. And
time to go to school, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Brian.
See everybody tomorrow.